The Defense Information Systems Agency, DISA, may be best known for the more than $5 billion in contracting support it provides the military services and agencies each year. But with the move of the Joint Force Headquarters DoD Information Network, or JFHQ DODIN, back to DISA earlier this year, the agency is playing a bigger role in securing the Pentagon's networks and data. In his weekly feature, The Reporter's Notebook, executive editor Jason Miller writes about the three biggest plans DISA is developing for fiscal 2019 and beyond. Jason joins me now with more. Jason, this was part of DISA's annual forecast industry, so give us the basic overview of what they're doing and why this is becoming popular.
Tom, this is probably one of the best events of the year to go to, and I don't go to a ton of DoD. You know, I leave that to our colleagues Jared Serbu and Scott Massioni, but for some reason, I definitely enjoy some DISA. And this was a day-long event out there right by BWI Airport in Maryland, Lithicum, Maryland. And more than 500 people, and I probably would say probably closer to 700 people were there. It lasted all day. And DISA does this right. They bring in all the program managers. They bring in all the acquisition people. And then they actually have meetings. So you can schedule meetings. They call it Meet the Seniors. So they really understand what it means to get people out and to get people talking. Because I think one thing that DISA does well, and I'll give also a lot of credit to the General Services Administration, is because of what their business model is. And I know that's maybe a bit of a dirty word in the federal parlance, but their business model is they have to bring in the right people at the right time to give the warfighter the right services so they get it. They get the industry communication. And really, this event does two things really well. It does many things, but these two things I'll highlight, Tom, is it tells industry, as well as people in the press, what their plans are for acquisition for 2019. So what the RFP is, when the RFP will come out, when the award will be made. So, you know, first quarter, second quarter, third quarter. And then if there is an acquisition strategy, what that acquisition strategy is. So I think that's awesome. The other piece that's really important is it discusses the programs and policies behind the acquisition. And it gives people a sense of, hey, in this business unit, this is what we're looking at and this is what's important to us. So at least industry has a starting point to start educating, because that's one of the biggest concerns is industry doesn't do enough to educate themselves. And this is a great way for them to do it.
And does DISA's taking on of that JFHQ DODIN, I guess back from some other place in DOD, does that
Cybercom,
expand
right.
their plan?
In many ways, it does. I mean, their cybersecurity plans for 2019 and beyond are as long as anybody else's in government. But because of the role they play with the JFHQ DODIN, they're actually looking at different types of cybersecurity, if you will, or different perspectives than just we need to secure our network or our systems, the services they provide. And I'm going to go through several that stood out to me.
Yeah, tell us about 2019 and what stood out.
One thing that I hear a lot about in the federal community is this idea of zero trust network. And I think DISA is starting to go down this path. This is the idea of you trust no one, so everybody has to be authenticated and authorized to get onto the network. And it's more than just a new technology or a new process, but it's really an umbrella that everything that the government's been doing, and I'm going to write a lot more about this in my notebook in the coming
weeks.
It's
really a different way of thinking about authentication.
Exactly. So this is something that they're just starting to go down the path. A couple other things that are more, if you will, concrete from DISA is endpoint security. New policy is coming from the DOD CIO. This is the idea of you take a lot of lessons learned from several pilots that DOD has been doing over the last few years around endpoint detection, response, and containment tools. And then look at their cyber architecture review, which they really have been leading the way in, and then take that analysis and take endpoints and put it all together into this new policy that's going to say we're not treating traditional endpoints like laptops or mobile phones the same anymore. We're going to treat them as huge threats and risks, and how can we secure coming from the endpoints and coming inside? Couple things related to identity management. Again, it's coming back into vogue, if you will. A lot of people are talking about it because of things like endpoint security and zero trust networks. So DISA is starting to look at using artificial intelligence, AI, of how to understand what your identity is, how the models and how to understand what risks were coming based on identity. So that's interesting. Now, they said, to be clear, we're not going to necessarily buy artificial intelligence, but we'll buy tools and services that have AI built in. Public key infrastructure. Remember that? Remember those days, Tom? PKI was the next best thing.
Well, it works if anyone could figure out how it works.
Exactly. Well, DISA and the National Security Agency have they're the joint program manager for the public key infrastructure program for DID. And they're working their way through this as what's the next step. Because they believe, listen, we have to get identity right. Because especially as quantum computing, which is another buzzword, if you will, gets bigger and more real, identity becomes even bigger. And they're working with some engineers and some program managers and some mission side to say, okay, how do we, what's the next generation of identity? What are some near-term opportunities? How do we refine them? And then how do we sustain them? And a lot of this deals goes back to the current efforts, Tom, around VDI, Virtual Desktop Interface. DISA rolled it out. They talk about how they eliminated 200,000 user accounts by moving to the single authentication solution with VDI. So that's just a few of the things that are happening.
We're speaking with Federal News Network's Jason Miller, and that idea of virtual interface, virtual machine interface, leads to cloud. That's something that's part of the cloud architecture. This is supposedly leading the way for DoD to move to the cloud, and that's had some mixed results.
Exactly. There's a ton of efforts around DISA with the cloud. One interesting thing that came from this that made me laugh a little is we always talked about in the past, Tom, DISA DEX. Oh, we're going to move to DISA DEX. DISA said, we're not doing that anymore. We don't call them DEX anymore. So why they changed terms? The cloud. Who knows, right? But the point is that it shows the evolution. Now, we know DISA is known for the MilCloud 2.0. The entire fourth the state is moving there, or what they call OSD. Now, we know that a couple things are happening with MilCloud 2.0. 30 apps are currently on the MilCloud 2.0. More are coming. There's a heavy emphasis on integrating MilCloud with the commercial cloud. That's where these things called cloud access points, if you will, the trusted internet connections, the dreaded one for the DoD side. But I think they're a little smarter about it, and they're not going to cause the latency and the concerns that TIC does right now. They also are developing a secure cloud computing architecture. Again, they have to deal with the bandwidth issue, the monitoring side, the cyber side of it, and then capacity. So there's a lot that's going on. And from a cybersecurity related to the cloud, Tom, that they're moving to MilCloud's moving to level 6 of the security requirements. So that's an important thing. And finally, they're going to shut down MilCloud 1.0 around November 2019 and move all those capabilities under 2.0. There's a lot going on around MilCloud, but there's more than just MilCloud, Tom. This is also looking at this idea of cloud more generally. And the DoD CIO, Dana Deasy, spoke at the event and really was trying to be clear, because there's all this angst over the JEDI procurement. And he talked about, for instance, we have a general
JEDI
purpose.
DISA?
No, JEDI is not DISA. Right. It's DoD wide. But he talked about having a general purpose cloud and a fit for purpose cloud. And I've heard that several times from different people around DoD about what their cloud strategy is. And then, of course, there's a big discussion on DIOS, which was DISA, and they're moving that to GSA under Schedule 70. And that's the big, if you will, collaboration, Office, Word, and Excel.
Yeah, which they're moving
to
a blanket purchase agreement.
Exactly.
Over the schedules instead of something separate.
Exactly. So that's a big deal as well.
A little more commercial. And while we have you, Jason, a sad development for those of us that follow the IT community and OMB management, a recent loss.
Oh, correct. Jeff Cook, who was a Labor Department executive, former OMB person, passed away suddenly about a week ago. Jeff was one of those people that if you knew him, he was just a genuine, real person. And if you didn't know him, and the name maybe sounds familiar, you probably were impacted by something he did. Initially, he was on Capitol Hill working for Pete Sessions. He came to the Bush administration and worked at the Labor Department. He was the first person behind, if you will, one of the e-government initiatives called Gov Benefits. But he really kind of made his mark at OMB as one of the e-government policy analysts. And that's where I got to know him. But I also learned some really interesting things about Jeff on his background. Not only was he an engineer, which I knew, but he loved creating awesome haunted houses during Halloween. He was known in his neighborhood for those awesome haunted houses. And then during 4th of July, he created slip and slides. He was the guy who put the PVC pipe together, the bags of soap, and the bags of that you can slide down. So he was just a genuine, really smart person, always had something smart to say, and was not necessarily a political person, but just wanted good government. And it's a very sad loss, Tom.
He'll be missed, and we wish the best to his family in their time of grieving. Federal News Network's Jason Miller, thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
Be sure to check out his notebook now online at federalnewsnetwork.com.